A very good morning to all our listeners and welcome to the Miraya Breakfast Show. And this is the last segment of the show. So as South Sudan prepares for election, social media is becoming an increasingly important battleground for information and also misinformation. A rumor can travel across thousands of phones in minutes. A manipulated video can make fiction look like fact, and also some messages targeting political or ethnic groups can deepen divisions that already exist in our communities. And for young people who are among the most active users and creators of online content, the responsibility is particularly important. Before you like it, post it, or share it, ask yourself, is it true? And what could happen if it isn't? So how can young people spot misinformation and disinformation? Where does political expression cross the line into hate speech? And how can South Sudan prevent the online information war from becoming a real world conflict? So this morning we are joined here by Iwen Khan and also by John Akwei Atem from Peacebedia, a youth-led peace-building organization, to talk about information disorders during election times. Good morning. Let me start from Iwen. Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yes. Good morning, listeners. My name is Iwen Khan, well known as Steady Iwen. I'm from Peacebedia. I'm the executive director of Peacebedia organization. I'm basically a youth advocate and peace builder, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, we are glad to have you. Let me also introduce John Akwei Atem. Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, good morning, Irene Lasso. Thank you for giving...
My Duleen Joseph. Irene is not here. I'm sitting in
for
her.
Okay, my bad.
Yes.
Okay, I'm John Akwei Atem. I'm a fifth year medical student at the University of Juba and a youth development advocate. And also, I also serve as the UNDP student ambassador for South Sudan. And I lead a youth-led organization called the African Foundation Scholars Network. Mm-hmm. So my work focuses on empowering young people through education, leadership, civic engagement, and giving them access to opportunities. So for me, misinformation, disinformation, and hatred is not necessarily they're not actually digital problems. Mm-hmm. So in election era, they can become issues of peace, democracy, social cohesion, and sustainable development.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Akwei. Now, let me go back to Iwen. You have already started, Akwei, touching on the issues of misinformation, disinformation, and later, hate speech. Now, I'm giving it back to you, Iwen. What is the difference?
Well, first of all, social media is becoming increasingly the best or the way that this misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech is spread. But first of all, what is disinformation? Disinformation, misinformation, first of all, it's a false or inaccurate information that is created and maybe shared without any intent or intention to mislead other people. While disinformation is unintended message or false or misleading information that is created with the intent to mislead other people. So when it's shared, it's normally used to mislead with the intention. The person who's sharing it is intending to mislead other people. Mm-hmm. And for hate speech is a speech that targets a certain group based on protected status. For example, the sex, the religion, the gender, the sexual orientations. So it's normally a message or something created to dehumanize or to discriminate a specific group or an individual.
Okay, before I go back to John Akwei, I would like to ask you, Iwen, why do you think this topic of misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech is so important at this time as the country is preparing to go for December election?
Well, first of all, as South Sudanese adapt to the social media platforms and the increasing technology, for example, the use of AI, the use of other technologies, so misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech are becoming more increasingly accessible and can transmit faster than ever before because of social medias. First of all, as the country prefers to go for the first elections, there are many challenges that the people are coming up with. So there is this mindset of who to elect, who to represent our county or country or something. So this one, when we are informed, there will be freedom of choice. So you will be choosing without any influence from a third party or someone who's telling you, please, so-and-so is from this group, so you don't have to choose that person. As we go for election, it's very crucial that we need to be reminded, first of all, of the Holocaust. Like, I'm going to tell you technically and briefly about it. The Holocaust, which happened in Germany, it was a genocide fueled by hate speech. So it was the system, which is the Nazi German or the Nazi party, using a systematical way of targeting the Jewish people, which is the group of the people, the European Jews. So this genocide was fueled by hate speech because the system is using the same tool to dehumanize, to demean, and to bring down the Jewish people. So in the eyes of other people, the Jewish people look like rats. So they used to call them different names. They give them different names that make them less human, you see. So in this election era, our leaders should be reminded that hate speech is not good. And when you are treating the people, for example, those who will go for campaign, they'll go for elections, you need to be mindful of what you speak. Because at time you speak, when you speak and you see other communities less value than the other ones. So already you're using it as a way of campaigning, but what you are doing, you are trying to incite hate toward another community. Right. So it become a target that they target this community, and because they believe they are more superior than the other one. So it's a very bad challenge that 6 million people were killed during that Holocaust.
And with your organization, you are trying to avoid such scenario from happening.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we have programs that normally work with young people to make sure that we stop hate.
Yes.
We stop this kind of thing.
I will
so we
come
train
back
young
to this
people
program.
About it.
Yeah. Yes. Let me bring in John Akwe to our discussion. What is your general view when you open social media and you start scrolling and you see what young people are posting online? What is your general view about what is posted online? Are you seeing misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech?
Sure. It's really very upset. You know, when I go through the social media and I scrolled and, you know, come across all those kind of information, it really upset, by the way. To take you back to what Stady talked about, when you look at the misinformation, you share false information without intention to deceive, you know. You can take a information somewhere, you come and share it without any intention to deceive. And disinformation, you already have an intention and you really want to deceive.
You know this is wrong.
This is wrong.
Yeah.
You actually know that this one is wrong, but you really want to deceive. And this is what is happening in social media. You see people, they have that intention to deceive the public. And why is it dangerous during these election periods? First, it is going to influence the decision from the citizens. Like when it comes to time for voting, all this act will be thrown on social media, and you know they will have to affect the decision from the citizen. And this is the reason why it is very important in this election era. Number two, the trust. It is going to undermine the election institution. So people will not trust the election institutions because of this misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech online. You see that, and this political polarization—it's normal. You see that. Now, when you look at when you look at this, the current context of South Sudan, you know, we have these recurrent conflicts. It continues. And we have this political tension. And we also have this communal tension. So, and these all kind of things are brought because of the misinformation and disinformation and hate speeches that I normally cheer online. You see that? So I really feel bad when I scroll on social media. So it really is so upset. The problem is, South Sudanese youth, they do not know the proper usage of social media,
mm-hmm.
and they need to be informed. And this is the reason why I'm here with Stady to realize the potential of how they can use social media properly.
And this is the work you're doing outside there with youth.
Definitely.
Now, from the work, I'm going to give you a chance to talk about the activities or the kind of work you do with youth outside there to inform them about these three things and other things related to how to stop these things of misinformation, disinformation, and de-escalate this issue of hate speech online. But now, if we look at the youth, they are playing positive role. And they are playing negative role, but they can play positive role at the same time since they are using social media. So why are young people both particularly vulnerable to misinformation and disinformation and potentially the most powerful group in stopping the spread of this issue of misinformation and hate speech? First, I want you to talk about the work you do with the youth, and then later you tell us why they are vulnerable to misinformation, but they also have the power to stop misinformation and hate speech.
Well, thank you for that question. Yeah, actually, it's definitely true that young people are so vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, last year, and we have continued this year for a couple, 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and this year, we have been working with young people in the schools. We normally go and train them. There's a program called Student Course. This program, we bring young people together and train them to be agents of peace. But now this training we train them in areas like hate speech, because we say that hate speech is one of the causes of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand that. Even the leaders should understand that hate speech, we should invest in making sure that we eradicate and we eliminate hate speech in our communities. So we train them in such scenarios. We show them pictures of genocides. For example, the Tutsi genocide, we normally print some banners and go and show them, like, these are the real consequences of hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
But hate speech, no one is born with hate. It's normally start from here.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment when you are transformed, for example, your parent tell you that, you know, you don't go and socialize with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
They are from this community or something like that.
That's the beginning.
Yeah, that's the beginning when you are a child. So that one normally comes. So when you continue in that cycle of socialization, you start to adapt to that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you become old, you already know that these people, they are not good. So your children also will continue the same cycle of socialization.
Yes.
And now that is how it starts. After it starts like that, it normally goes to schools whereby you are not allowed, you don't feel like to sit with other colleagues because you feel they are less value and they are less human
mm-hmm.
than you. Because
right.
you feel superior more than, as you are told at home. So that is what we are doing. We are trying to train them to remove those mindsets. Because we normally know in our communities, they're not okay. This issue of hate speech is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
At homes, communities, churches, everywhere. But now, using that platform, we try to train them to understand that there is nothing of that kind. Humans are human. Humanity is one. We are all human, and we are all having the same dignity, the same privileges, and the same needs that are natural. So you don't need to hate someone because you are told to hate that person. Yes. So coming to the privileges of young people
mm-hmm.
and why they are vulnerable. First of all, our population in South Sudan is young people are 70 or more than 70%. So it shows that young people are the majority in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that majority, I can say 90% of them are in social media.
They're
using social media mm-hmm. as they use.
Mm.
So it means that they have a platform. But now that platform, what do we use that platform for? Is it for positivity or for negativity? And I've seen that even to the extent the social media content creators, these are the very people, some of them are spreading hate. So there is something say that, there's something they normally say that man's eyes come. So that one is already hate.
Yeah.
You're saying man's eyes come, you're already inciting hate. Some ladies will take it personal. So they will be like, okay, if man's eyes come, then I don't have to be in a relationship or something, or making friend with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's normally hate, but you are doing it not knowing that you are causing hate.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Let me bring in John Akwe. Now, young people are not only consumers of information. Some of them are content creators. Some of them are influencers. And people who can make information also go viral. What responsibility comes with that power of creating content?
Social media, creating of content online, it's really, it requires a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what young people are really focusing. Like when I create a content about hate speech, and without an intention to spread false information, to you do not know, right? But to the public, you are spreading false information. You see, what you are giving outside to the public is a false information, you see. So what I really want to say about this, and I want to appreciate UNESCO. You know, UNESCO is fighting harder on media information literacy, you see. They are training. They train youth, church leaders, community leaders on issues to do with misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech. Now, when you go to most of the secondary school that I have gone to, many of the young people are now aware of the misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech. And that was because of the training that that UNESCO that is offering, and that we are also doing as youth leaders. To the work that I do, recently, 1 month ago, I attended a youth conference in Kigali.
Mm-hmm.
So in that youth conference, I was taken to the genocide center. What I saw there was really something upset, you see. I was taken through the entire process. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, I came up with a different story.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me that, hate speech itself, that expression to attack or demean a person, you see, or a certain group, it's so bad.
And very dangerous weapon.
Dangerous. It's a dangerous weapon. See?
Yeah.
So, people, you need to be given those opportunities to go outside and see what is happening there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see, they will eventually not actually do it.
Now,
Trust me. Let's
make this practical to our listeners who are listening to us this morning. For example, they have a smartphone.
Yeah.
They are in different WhatsApp groups. And they receive a message, maybe on WhatsApp or on Facebook, claiming that a political party, maybe during election later, a political party or community or certain candidate has done something alarming or something wrong against another candidate or another political party or another community. What is the first thing that a person is supposed to do?
Yeah.
Or the first three or four things they're supposed
definitely,
to do?
Definitely. Thank you for asking that question, There are four things that a person should do before sharing that information.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is verification. You need to first verify that information before you share it, you see. Verify it thoroughly. You don't need to take the information, then you go and share it online. That's so bad. Number two, education. You need to educate peers about the media and information literacy. See
mm-hmm.
that? And when they are educated about media and information literacy, they will be informed.
Mm-hmm.
They will be informed. And when they take decision, those decisions will be informative. Number three is about the engagement. As a youth, when you want to engage on social media, you need to engage in a constructive way that is not going to demean another person, that is not going to attack any other individual. You see that? So these are the things that you do. Now, lastly, you now report.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you are reporting, you will report the information that you have verified, that you have a clear source. You see that? And when you have a clear source, this is where you can now share it.
Mm-hmm.
That this information is coming from this side or like the recent perception survey that was done by ANMIS, mm-hmm. 2024, it details that 62% of the information are coming from the radio. You see, live all informations mm-hmm. are coming from the radio. 27% are in person. Then 6% are from social media, you see. So it is only 6% that is liable, that is coming from what? From the social media. So when you look at the percentages, the information that comes from the radio is the legit one, you see, legitimate one. So once you take that and you verify that it's coming from Radio Miraya, you will exactly know that this is a liable source. So you'll be able to share that information. You see that? But when it is coming from social media, you're not going to share it, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's 6%. Mm-hmm. So there are chances that information can be a misinformation, can be a disinformation, and can also be a hate speech at the same time.
Right. Now, as we are concluding or wrapping up this interview to go for our newsroom, I'm giving Iwen a chance to conclude this discussion and give you one message that you want every young South Sudanese who are using social media to remember during election period. And then I will come to you again, John.
All right. Thank you for that. Now, young people in South Sudan should understand this. You know, genocide happened to everyone. It happened in every community as well, and in every country. Mm-hmm. But what we need to also understand, we can cause genocide. It can start with you as an individual and to individuals as well. So please, let's be mindful of what we share on social media. Let's be mindful of also words that we use to describe other people. Let's not describe our colleagues from other communities or other minor groups as rats, as names. We call them names. Mm-hmm. So it's not good to describe them in that way, because what you're doing already, you are discriminating them and you are dehumanizing them. So please, as we go for elections and as elections are approaching, there will be safe space for political discussions. Mm-hmm. But let's use those political spaces as ways of bringing our communities together. You know, you will be so excited when you see South Sudanese going outside. They go outside as South Sudanese, united by one vision and by one flag, that is the flag of South Sudan. But in country here, we tend to go to other different groups and see our brothers as our enemies. So please, let's not be also misled by the politicians. Mm-hmm. Because these politicians, they have a political will. You are pursuing a political career. But later on, a young person who is at the university, who is very innocent, doesn't know anything about politics, come and hear something you say that this tribe A is like this. So it's already adapting that word, and you're causing a very big, serious damage to the future of this country. Mm-hmm. So let's build this country with vision and the unity that bring people together. Let's use our voices to bring peace instead of war, and use our social media platforms for peaceful engagement
and also
good content sharing.
Yes, thank you so much, Iwen Khan. Now I give you a chance, John Akwey, to give also your final remarks, especially to young South Sudanese as we are going for election.
This is a very nice question. You know, my message is going to be very precise to the young people. You know, before you share any information, first verify it. Mm-hmm. And before you react to that information, you get an information and you react, you need to first understand the content of that information. And also before you attack that individual person, remember the human being behind it. You see that? And when you remember the human being behind it, there will be no any problem, you see. So this is a precise message that I can tell young individuals that are much into this misinformation, disinformation, and e-trade. And also, I also have a message to the government.
Yes.
Yes, I also have a message to the government. What should government do? The first thing that the government should do is on issues of transparency. Mm-hmm. You know, they should provide accurate information quickly, so that they prevent to be attacked. Mm-hmm. You see that? And once the government provides that accurate information, then there will not actually be attack because there is already transparency. Number two, communication. They should maintain trusted official communications, like Radio Miraya. When the messages are passed here, we'll definitely take it that this is a live also. So we're going to take this information as a live, you see. And lastly, protection. They should protect the citizen, the journalists, and also the vulnerable groups.
Right.
To this. So lastly, I believe that, you know, young people should not only be protected from harmful information, but they should be empowered to become a responsible information creators, fact checkers, then peace builders, and also eventually civic educators. Okay. So this is what I can actually give to young people outside there. Thank you very much.
John Akwei and also Iwan Kon from Peace Media, thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Mirai Breakfast Show. And as they said, before you share it, pause, verify the information and question the source, and then think about the consequences of you sharing this information. So thank you so much for sharing with us this insight. And with this, our dear listeners, we have come to the end of our Rare Breakfast Show this morning. I've been with you since the hour of 6. Madeline Joseph, up to here, we say bye-bye.